Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Great to be in studio. I hardly thought I would make it into studio. I was on a plane about a half hour ago, got to the studio just in time. We were in traffic thinking, am I going to make it or am I not going to make it? But I made it. And kind of an interesting experience. For the first time, I've had to wear a mask while I was on the plane. My doctor said, okay, you can fly to Phoenix in Southern California. You can do what you have to do, but you got to wear a mask. So I wore a mask on the plane, evidently to keep me from getting sick. Hopefully that worked. And then when we got off the plane, as I said, we were stuck in traffic, but I got here just in the nick of time. So glad to be in studio for this live edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's show, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The last couple of days, live days, Thursday and Friday, Andreas Knopp, the book, The Last Christians. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Andreas as much as I enjoyed doing it. I have had a lot of people contact me already telling me how much they enjoyed both the podcast and the broadcast featuring Andreas Knopp. Of course, the subject matter is very, very dear to my heart. He wrote a book called The Last Christians, and that's an ominous moniker, The Last Christians. And he's talking, of course, about the mass genocide that is taking place in the Middle East, squarely in the blind spot of the West. If you don't have a copy of The Last Christians, be sure to get it. It is an absolutely brilliantly written book. And once you start reading it, you simply can't put it down. So The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp, Stories of Persecution, Flight, Resilience in the Middle East. Also tomorrow, the release date officially for my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, that book available for those who support the ministry this month. And for those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Obviously, both books are available, The Last Christians, as well as my book. Check it out on the web. Find out how you can get to both books by being extraordinarily generous in supporting the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal. Always excited to walk into my studio and see a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal. I did the cover story. The cover story is on Islamic Sharia and the treatment, or I should say mistreatment, of women. I also have an Ask Hank section, as I always do in the Christian Research Journal. This particular one is on sex, slavery, and sin. And it broaches a question which I've been asked on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and have had to answer many times over the years. And that question is the God of the Bible really all that different from the God of Islam? At first blush, you might wonder, how could someone even ask such a question? But there's a good reason. And let me kind of broach that reason by saying that when it comes to sex and slaves, Muhammad had few peers. He lusted after all the wealth and the women of the Arabian Peninsula. He coveted not only their wives, but their male and female slaves, and their oxen, and their donkeys, and anything else that he could get his hands on. But here's the deal. A lot of people will say, yeah, but so did the Old Testament Jewish King David, the quintessential king of the Jews in the Old Testament, the second king of Israel, who not only lusted after Bathsheba, but he had Uriah, her husband, murdered to cover up her pregnancy and then take her as his wife. And therefore, we ask the question, aren't Jews and Christians who laud David and condemn Muhammad, aren't they speaking out of both sides of their mouths? And what about the God of the Old Testament? Is Islam's God, is he a moral monster? And by contrast, is the God of Israel a moral monster as well? Well, we have to give a response. And in doing so, we should first note that when Israel's quintessential king coveted Uriah's wife, when he took her for his own, the God of Israel sent his prophet Nathan to pronounce judgment upon him. Conversely, when Muhammad, the prophet of Allah, coveted his neighbor's wife, as in Zainab, wife of his adopted son Zayd, Allah sent the prophet a message saying, there's no blame on the prophet in that which Allah has made legal for him. And not only that, according to one of the most trusted Muslim sources, the depravity of Allah is seen in that he permitted Muslim men to have sexual relations with any whom their right hands possess. And thus, as a direct result of Allah's many Quranic assertions, sexual slavery was widely practiced and considered perfectly normal by Muhammad and his men. And here's what's even more appalling. According to Sharia, women, and that includes little girls who are captives of war, can be raped by their Muslim captors. Incredible but true. The sanction for raping captives comes directly from Allah. Again and again, he commands Muslim men to, quote, guard their chastity except with their wives, plural, and the captives whom their right hands possess. And then they're not to be blamed. By the way, that comes directly from Quran 70, 29 through 30. And you can see other texts like Quran 4, verse 3, or Quran 4, verse 24. And is noted in the classic manual of Islamic sacred law, Reliance of the Traveler, when a child or a woman is taken captive, they become slaves by the fact of capture. And the woman's previous marriage, therefore, is immediately annulled. And that is precisely what happened to a beautiful young Jewish woman named Bara. Bara was captured during Muhammad's massacre in Mustalik. And her marriage to Musab Sawan was annulled, and her name was changed, and then she was added to Muhammad's stable of wives and concubines. But again, what about the biblical God? Does not he also sanctify sexual sin and slavery? Certainly, that's the claim of many Muslim apologists. And to justify The precepts of a law and the behavior of his prophets, they invariably point to the Jewish treatment of female captives within the Old Testament theocratic law. But again, differences are palpable. If, as was the case with Muhammad, an Israelite saw among the captives a beautiful woman and desired her, he must first allow a month's time to lament the loss of land and loved ones. Added to that, unlike Muhammad and his men, the Israelite was not permitted to have sex with a captive apart from marriage. And under no circumstance was he permitted to sell her for ransom. Now, as I've pointed out many times, Mosaic law was time-bound. It was not timeless. And in contrast to the expansionism of Sharia, it was geographically bounded and ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, unlike Muhammad, Jesus never commanded beheading infidels and oppressing women. What Jesus did is he rightly elevated women, and he taught his disciples that the meek would inherit the earth. Sharia applies to all people, in all places, at all times. But Mosaic law has long since been abrogated. And more to the point, can anyone imagine Jesus saying or doing what Muhammad said or did? In a first century culture in which women were relegated to the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder, Jesus elevated women to complete ontological equality with men. And far from treating captives as chattel, the Apostle Paul made plain that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. Bottom line, when we compare the personal morality of Muhammad with that of Jesus, the difference is remarkable. The Quran exhorts Muhammad to ask forgiveness for thy fault. Conversely, the ethics of our Lord Jesus Christ regarding every aspect of life, including his treatment of women, was so unimpeachable that he could rightly ask, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" Here's the bottom line. The distance between the God of the Bible and the Quranic Allah is infinite. Again, I wrote about that in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, as well as in the Ask Hank section of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. If you're not subscribing, take a moment to go to equip.org. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion online. Again, equip.org. You can also talk to our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We're coming to the station break. When we come back from the station break, we will be taking your calls right here live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, numerically, 888-275-4265. The resource of the month, The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp, Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East. This is one of the most inspiring books I've ever come across. And as I was doing my research on my own book, I came across books that I wanted to put in the hands of Christians. Last month, I was mentioning books that I was really excited about. And this month, I wanted to put The Last Christians into your hand. Again, it's one of those riveting reads. You start reading this book, and you'll have a hard time putting it down. So we got some great resources available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And my thanks for all of those that are joining CRI's monthly support team. You build the foundation for this ministry that is so critical as we minister worldwide 24/7, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We'll be back with your questions in just a few, so please don't touch that dial.
Ideas have consequences, and in the case of Islam, the consequences historically have been unimaginably brutal. To believe that Islam is a religion of peace is a potentially fatal fiction. This is the time for naive and trusting Christians to take their heads out of the sand. True Islam has zero appreciation for the freedoms of Western democracies and would substitute the dehumanizing oppression of Sharia law in a heartbeat if given the chance. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go to our phone callers. First up is Angelia, listening in Ocala, Florida. Hi.
Hello, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you.
I'm nice to speak with you. I have a question. Today I was in a Bible bookstore with my mother-in-law, and a gentleman came up to me asking me, asked to speak with me, and he was showing me in the Bible where they were saying that the real true Israelites were black. And I guess he's with that group, Black Israelites, I'm not really sure. And I wasn't sure. I mean, when he was showing me the different things and stuff like that, I mean, in the Bible, from my own studies that what he was saying was not true. But next time, if that happens to me, I mean, what should I say to him to share Jesus with him?
Yeah.
When I looked online, he didn't say anything about Jesus. He just was more basically focusing on the race and, you know, we're the real Israelites. And, you know, and then when I looked at a little online also, and it was like real radical. It was like kind of borderline racism to me. So I really wasn't sure how to speak with someone next time they ask me or come up to me and tell me about that.
Well, what's great is you have a sense of discernment about this issue, and I think here's what you want to do. You want to always point out that in Scripture there is no place for racism. In other words, the Scripture doesn't make any big deal out of a person's ethnicity, out of their genealogy or their origin. And the reason I say that is you can go to the Old Testament and see that there are Canaanites and here you have Canaanites, the house of Rahab in the lineage of Jesus Christ. The same thing is true with respect to Moabites. Ruth, for example, is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And in Esther chapter 8, we see this incredible story of how the world is looking on as Esther is being raised up to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And then the text tells us on that day, many different people from many different nations became Jews. So we immediately see that these people couldn't change their birth mother, but they could be brought into all the types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ. But you see a larger point, and that is God is not a respecter of persons. And we see this most clearly enunciated by Paul in Galatians chapter 3, where he says, in Christ there is no male or female. And I quoted this earlier in the first segment of this broadcast. In Christ, there's no male or female. In other words, it has nothing to do with gender. There's no Jew or Greek. It has nothing to do with your ethnic background. And there's no slave or free. It has nothing to do with your station in life. If you are in Christ, you are royal. You are the royal seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And I always like to talk about what happened to Peter in this regard, because Peter, well, maybe speaking loosely, had a bit of racism in his blood. He wouldn't go see Cornelius because Cornelius was a Gentile, And so he had a bit of a superiority complex going on, thinking that he was clean and they were unclean. And so God showed him a vision three times. And after he saw that vision three times, he hustled over to Cornelius. And he told Cornelius about the vision. And he appended his remarks by saying, "Now I understand that God does not show favoritism." So all of that simply to say that there's no place in the Christian worldview for racism, and therefore the idea of the Black Israelite movement is an idea that is not founded on Scripture, as though we have to figure out whether the ancient Israelites were black or white or whatever. This is not the point. The point is not how much pigmentation you have or lack thereof. This has nothing whatsoever to do. The point in Scripture is that we are created in the image and being conformed to the likeness of God. And because of that, every single person, regardless of the color of their skin or the color of their eyes or their height or whatever, where they come from, they have intrinsic worth, and therefore no Christian or no movement should ever look at another person and think that that person somehow is inferior, or some person or group of people have, well, a superior connection to God. And that's why I like your comment in the prologue to the question. It seems racist, you said, and that's absolutely right. There's racist overtones to this. The idea that the literal Israelites were literal descendants of the promise and that they were black. But there's much more going on with this. I mean, what's going on with this in terms of the undertow or the undercurrent is that they many times, not always, but many times reject Jesus as the actual Messiah, the second Adam. So there are a lot of problems with this this movement.
Right, because I was speaking with someone else, and it's so weird that this is the second person I spoke to. The first person I spoke to, I said, well, okay, so if I believe, I mean, what you're saying that we are, since I'm black also, that we're Israelites and we're the true Israelites, but what's the basis of your religion, of your movement? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again for our sin? And, you know, it was like he was going around all that.
Well, see, you asked the right question, and this exact, the way you dealt with this is precisely a model of how you should deal with this. I mean, you got to the heart of the issue. And, if you're in a situation where you dealt with the situation exactly how you should have dealt with the situation, but remember, the one thing that you have to keep in your mind is that it's not your responsibility to change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So you were an ambassador for Christ. You represented Christ properly. You got to the heart of the issue. And that's all you can do. The Holy Spirit has to change the heart. But you were prepared with a great answer. And I think that's a model for all of us to follow.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks for calling. Tiffany next. She's listening in Louisiana. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Hank. I have a question. My question is about, in the book of Revelation, the whore of the mystery, Babylon whore. I noticed some similarities between Jerusalem and mystery Babylon. And so my question is, who is the mystery Babylon, the great whore, and has it already taken place, or is it future in the future?
Well, what's going on here is pretty interesting. What you find out is that if you read Scripture in light of Scripture, you immediately recognize who is in view. When one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." So you look at that passage, a passage that I've talked about often on this show, And you think immediately, if I'm reading Scripture in light of Scripture, who would I think that is? Well, if you've read through the Old Testament, you see that one prophet after another, I'm talking about the true prophets of God, they talked about the prostitution of Israel and the prostitution of Judah, the prostitution of the northern kingdom and the prostitution of the southern kingdom. And in each case, they use graphic language to depict Israel, who was called to be a light to the nations, but instead prostituted herself with the nations. So when you get to Revelation and recognize that Revelation has 404 verses and 278 of those verses are allusions to other parts of the Scripture, primarily Old Testament passages, you immediately think in your mind, the clue here is given to me by reading the other passages. Israel is in view here. Israel is the prostituted bride. So you have sort of a grand meta-narrative in John's Olivet Discourse, which is the book of Revelation, where you have a persecuted bride, seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. You have a prostituted bride. Some of the people in those churches, particularly in Laodicea, were in bed with Rome, and that's the beast. And the Roman emperor, who wanted to be called Savior and Lord in place of Christ. So you're supposed to say Caesar is Lord and King, as opposed to Christ is Lord and King. So that answers the second part of your question, and that is, this is not about the 21st century. This is about what happened in the first century. And this, therefore, is in concert with the symphony of all of Scripture. When you read Romans, you intuitively know that Paul is writing to Christians in a first century epoch, Roman Christians. The same thing is true with John in the book of Revelation, his expanded Olivet Discourse. He's writing to seven churches, and he says so in the introduction, seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, and he's telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication will be an eternal vindication. This book of the Bible was not written to us, it most certainly was written for us, because just as there are prostitutes in Scripture and Israel prostituted herself with the nation, so too there are those who act the part of prostitute. They are not true to the Lord Jesus Christ. They give him a kiss, as did Judas, as opposed to saying, with the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Coming to station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the quote of the day.
Grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from William Sinclair Tisdall. He is an esteemed British historian and Middle Eastern languages expert. He specialized in researching the actual origin of the Quran and Islamic tradition. And he's the author of the original sources of the Quran, its origin in pagan legends and mythology. And the quote of the day from William St. Clair Tisdale is as follows. The Quran, he said, breathes the air of the desert. It enables us to hear the battle cries of the prophet's followers as they rushed to the onset. It reveals the working of Muhammad's own mind and shows the gradual declension of his character as he passed from the earnest and sincere, though visionary enthusiast, into the conscious imposter and open sensualist. And I thought this quote of the day was particularly appropriate because many people are unaware of the fact that in essence there are two Muhammads. There's the Muhammad that led a singularly unspectacular life for the first 40 years of his life, and then the next 10 or 12 years, he became this struggling itinerant prophet in Mecca. He did not win many to his fledgling new religion by word. But when he migrated to Medina and became a ruthless warlord, he won many to Islam via the sword, via submission, via causing people to say, there's only one God, and that God is Allah, and I am the prophet of Allah, the culmination of all other prophets who came before me. The Quran itself is a function of Muhammad's, well, his alter ego. Whenever he wanted something, a surah or an ayah would come down to him and would allow him to do whatever he wanted to do, whether it is having sex with slaves or garnering a harem of wives or butchering Jews or taking someone else's wife as his own. The Quranic verse would come down and it would allow him to do what he wanted to do. In sharp contrast to the Holy Bible, the Quran, therefore, is replete with faulty ethics. It is riddled with factual errors. Not only so, the Quranic claim that if the whole of mankind and jinns were to gather together to produce the like of this Quran, they could not produce the like thereof, even if they backed up each other with help and support. That statement is but feigned eloquence. It's not real eloquence, because if you read the Quran, you find out that it is a discombobulated jumble of words. So at the end of the day, reading the Quran exposes something to those who are open, and that is, the emperor has no clothes. This is feigned eloquence, not real eloquence. And some people might think that this is a hard line vis-a-vis the Quran. But this is not a hard line. This is simply speaking the truth as it needs to be spoken in an epoch of time where people are deluded into thinking that somehow or other, the Quran is on an equal footing or even a higher footing than the Bible. Not only that, we need to know that with no pretenses, in other words, this is not shrouded in mystery, this is up front, the Quran and Muslims seek to tear the very heart out of the Christian's faith. And they do that by saying that Jesus Christ was not crucified. Quran 4:157. And if Jesus was not crucified, he was not resurrected. That is tearing the very heart out of the historic Christian faith. And so this is a debate that we ought to be having. Now, again, we need to do that with gentleness and with respect. And I had the opportunity to have this conversation, in part, with a Muslim yesterday. in Southern California. And quite frankly, we had a very nice conversation because he treated me with respect and I treated him with respect. There's a third person involved in the conversation, and he was even more respectful in the conversation. So the two Christians demonstrated the love of Christ. But I have to say that this particular Muslim man did the exact same thing. He conducted himself in a very honorable way in the discussion. But that does not eliminate the fact that Islam, at its very core, rips the heart out of the Christian faith, going so far as to deny that Jesus Christ is God, and saying that if one suggests that Jesus Christ is God, that they have committed a sin that cannot be forgiven. It's an unforgivable sin, the sin they refer to as shirk. Now, I mentioned something about slavery earlier on in the broadcast as I was talking about the sex slaves that Muhammad had, and also talking about those who would castigate the Bible for the same thing, but do so without really reading the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. Also not recognize that the Mosaic law, theocratic law, is time-bound, geographically bound, and Sharia extends to all generations, so there is no binding it time-wise or binding it from a geographical standpoint. It's not as though this was some kind of a theocracy that had a time limit on it. Anyway, I talked about that earlier on in the broadcast, and this brings to mind a question that came in on our website from Amy, who says, my friend tells me that she could never become a Christian because the Bible affirms slavery. And then she says, I know it doesn't, but I don't know how to explain what the Bible says in regard to slavery. Thank you for your work, she concludes. Well, that's a good question, and I think that question is very appropriate. Barack Obama, when he was president, was fond of saying that the Bible teaches slavery. My response to that is, if the Bible really does teach slavery, that's a deal breaker for me. So, does it or does it not? The answer is, it absolutely does not. This is a myth that has been propped up by secular skeptics. Nothing, however, could be farther from the truth. Far from extolling the virtues of slavery, the Bible denounces slavery as sin. And I think the most powerful passage in this regard is what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where he goes so far as to put slave traders in the category of murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. That's strong. In fact, perhaps it's worthwhile to quote the passage, but you can look it up. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We know that the law is good if the law is properly used. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers or adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. So here Paul lists a litany of sins that are horrendous. And in that litany of sins, you have slave traders. And I think we can go further. and say that slavery within the Old Testament context was sanctioned for economic realities, not for racial or sexual prejudices. And you have to remember, in the context of the Old Testament, bankruptcy laws didn't exist. And therefore, people would voluntarily sell themselves into slavery. For example, a craftsman could use his skills in servitude to discharge a debt. And even a convicted thief could make restitution by serving as a slave. So, while the Bible as a whole recognizes the reality of slavery, it never promotes the practice of slavery. In fact, it was the application of biblical principles that ultimately led to the overthrow of slavery both in ancient Israel and in the United States of America. Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt was the model for the liberation of slavery and slaves in general. And in America, many are beginning to wake up to the liberating biblical truth that all people are created by God with innate equality. I'm going to have to leave it at that for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And again, my thanks for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. For those who support the ministry all this month, you can pick whichever book you want, The Last Christians or Muslim. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.